James, I sent you a text earlier this week.
Yeah. You send me a lot of texts which don't get read.
I know. Well, I was wondering if you had solar.
Well, you know I have solar. What do you you know I have solar.
I didn't know that.
Have you never looked at my house? People walk up and say, oh, we would like to sell you solar. I'm like, did you look at the roof before you walked up to the house? And they're like,
oh, maybe it just blends in well.
Oh, dude, you've already got it. Yeah, we've already, it's right there on the roof. Sorry.
So is that working for you?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But only for the past 10 years.
Oh, my God. I got a little thing from, I don't know, I'm trying to make this house more energy efficient.
All right, so you want to know if you should do solar?
I want to know if I could, yeah, just simple yes or no.
The answer is very simple. Always yes.
Okay.
Except for you, which would be no.
Why me? No.
Do you want to stay in that house?
I don't.
Why bother investing in them if you don't want to stay
See,
there?
See, that's the thing. I had a lot of infrastructure issues. I kind of felt like the Wizard of Oz. Like, it's melting this week. I mean, it was really...
It doesn't look like it's melting.
No, it started with plumbing. God, forgive me for, like, hating the plumbing in this house. I mean, the house is getting old. And it comes to the point, like, how much money do you put in before you just call it quits? And, you know, I'm not sure. I had many problems this week.
The problem with that is, you know, you need to put money into the house so you can live there. What are the options?
The plumbing's functional, but we keep having, like, little issue here, little issue there.
That's what happens with houses.
You know, I'm in, like, over $4,000 now for fixing little issues.
Welcome to house ownership.
I don't like this.
When was the house built? In the 80s?
70, 71-ish.
Yeah, not a great time for houses.
Not a great time for houses.
Really, most of the time, most American houses throughout history have been built poorly. But they seem to be getting worse.
Right. And, you know, and the house is built during that time frame that was the aluminum wiring era.
Which is really good for solar, by the way.
Aluminum wiring?
Oh, yeah. It's very good for solar.
Is it? Why?
No, it's terrible, obviously.
I had the whole house rewired, and I should have done the plumbing at the same time. Mm. I don't want to get off on a rant about my housing woes.
I always say yes to solar. The problem is it's always getting better and cheaper. Mm-hmm. So if you wait a year, you can get more solar for less money. But then you wait another year and you never have solar.
Right.
Now, if you're going to be moving, and plus you have to be careful who you're getting it from, how much you're actually getting out of it, because APS is going around trying to sell everybody solar. Mm-hmm. But they're really just trying to put it on your house so they can harvest the energy for themselves.
That's what I
really
heard.
And not pay you much for it. So mm-hmm. we got in just before a lot of laws were enacted to make it a lot less profitable or monetizable to do it. So we did it at a very particular time. And the funny thing was... This is APS. APS is one of our local power providers here in Phoenix.
Arizona Public Service.
When we were looking at solar, we got a couple different proposals from a couple of different companies. Mm-hmm. And one of them, we were looking at the breakdown of, you know, this is expensive. I think it was about $15,000 to $17,000 as an investment. Mm-hmm. And we looked at how much that would draw down our electric bill and what the mm-hmm. break-even point was. And that was based mm-hmm. on the APS rates at the time. And it looked like it would take about 7 years before we broke even, before we were, mm-hmm. you know, up until that point, we would be paying more to have the solar and the electricity than just the electricity. And then 2 weeks later, before we actually had the solar installed, but 2 weeks after that, APS raised the rates.
Wow.
Pretty significantly. I think it was like 4% or something like that. And that totally changed the math. So we never recalculated because it's like, well, it's probably 3 or 4 years to recoup rather than 7 years.
Yeah, it was just something I was contemplating as I was looking through some energy efficiency options for the house. And we have Salt River Project, SRP, mm-hmm. is our provider. And they did some sort of telephonic assessment and then sent me like a big box of light bulbs, almost like $250 worth of stuff.
Well,
it was an
amazing,
that's what they say. But there were, I mean, I have a huge box of light bulbs. They sent me shower heads. They sent me weather stripping.
Good for them.
I know.
These people don't do anything out of the goodness of their hearts. So
you think they're lying?
I don't know. They're just trying to butter you up.
They buttered me.
Do you think they have your best interest in mind?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, then, do whatever SRP tells you to do. Get back to me on that.
See how that works for you. Okay. I don't know where to store these light bulbs. I mean, they're a hell of a lot of light bulbs.
Sell them.
Put them on eBay.
What are they? LEDs? What are they?
They're all LEDs. I have LEDs throughout this entire house.
Probably junk, though, you know. LEDs are not all the same. There are a lot of junky ones out there.
I'll have to assess the situation.
I don't know. It just sounds to me like they're lying to you, Catherine. Mm. Catherine, do you lie?
No.
Really? We're going to talk about lying now.
Are we?
I said it, therefore it must happen because I am not a liar. And I think I know where this conversation is going to go when we talk about lying.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm going to be a lot more hardcore about it than you are.
I think so.
I'm too much of a humanitarian to tell people what you really think.
At times. I've gotten in trouble for my candor in the past.
So what do you think about lying? What is your moral stance on lying?
You know, that's an interesting question because it's not something I contemplate often. I think that there are things that, well, ultimately, I think lying is bad. You shouldn't lie. You should be truthful. But there are times when, you know, is a white lie a lie?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. No, I agree. Maybe we're not trained or wired to tell the truth in a gentle way that doesn't make it a lie. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But
no, I get what you're saying. There are ways to say something or not say something that might sound hurtful.
Right, right.
But maybe, you know, the hurtful things are usually the most important things to hear.
Right.
And there are different ways of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is one of the problems. I don't think a lot of Americans actually sit down and think about their morality and their ethics. They get them through osmosis, through their church and through their society and through the TV and all that stuff. And I think it's important for people to actually stop and take an assessment of where their morality comes from.
Right.
And I have done this because I have a lot of time on my hands. I do it all the time. Because I have a lot of time on my hands. So if you're unemployed, this is what you should be doing. Also, when you have a kid, hopefully you're thinking a little bit more about this. And this is where I came to. I wanted to have some ideas of how to raise my son. So I came up with some what I thought were the basic moral points. Mm-hmm. And they are don't steal.
Right.
Don't hurt. And don't lie. And for me, the most important one might be surprisingly, don't lie. Because I believe that all the other ills of the world, all the other sins that you commit start with a lie. I think you have to lie to yourself to do any other bad thing that you want to do.
I would agree with that 100%.
So even though it's gotten me into trouble on occasion, I do try to avoid lying as much as possible. I still lie. Everybody lies, but I try to avoid it as much as possible and try to have some candor in my life. Mm-hmm. And one of the upsides of that is people don't ask my opinion unless they really want it. Because let me tell you, when someone asks you, does this shirt make me look fat or something like that? And you say, well, you know, it doesn't make you look slimming. Or when you say something like, when you're actually honest in response, they tend not to ask you again because they're not ready for that. Most people, when they ask you a question like that, they want you to say, no, you look fantastic.
Right. And it's interesting you talked about, because I was going to ask you if you ever lied to Bob to make him feel better about things. So I remember as a kid, my parents, I don't think they lied to me, or maybe they did, but often, but things were like candy coated, you know, and as our roles are switching, I asked my mom a question a week or so ago, and she just said the most blatant, truthful answer because she has no filter anymore. And I looked at her and I said, can't you just lie to me anymore? And it was just kind of, I just wanted to feel better. Like, tell me everything's going to be okay. Even though you're not sure, you know, she just looked at me with this blank look, you know, because she's changing every day and she couldn't. So all of a sudden, I feel like the parent, you know, trying to shield them from some of these horrors. I don't want them to get anxious. And I'm like, well, let's just turn off the news. I'm putting a little happy face on things and trying to put a more positive spin. And is that a lie or is that protecting them? I don't want them to get sick over everything that's going on.
If you turn off the news, that's not a lie. That's actually, I think, saving you from lies. There's a great piece in Axios recently about just that. It was a very quick thing. Mm-hmm. It was about how, let me see if I can find that article. Hang on a second. Oh, right. This is the article. The new silent majority, people who don't tweet.
Right.
So okay. It was just really quick. And it was like, knock, knock. Yeah, media people. Guess what? Most people in America actually don't tweet or don't care about the crazy people who are tweeting. But the gist of the article is that news media, regardless of where it's coming from, have a tendency to over-amplify voices that do not resonate with the main population, right? We have outside voices who are very angry and have very obscene, I was going to say extreme, but obscene points of view. Those are what's getting amplified. And that's kind of a lie. They're amplifying voices that they think people want to hear or they think that represent people or I don't know what, but it's essentially a lie. It's like, this is not the actual reality. This is not how the world is.
Mm-hmm.
So protecting your parents from news isn't necessarily a bad thing. You have to find the right news to follow.
Right. It gets harder and harder. But yeah, I agree with the amplification, and I'm really tired of it. You know, the amplification of all the negative. It seems like they don't ever amplify that much positive. They'll throw in a heartwarming news story once in a while.
I think you've taken the first step is recognizing that these are extreme voices.
Right.
The next step is to turn it off. Mm-hmm. Or just to, you know, to file that under this isn't important. This is fake news, as they want to say. I don't like using that term, but this is not, it's not news. You know, this is not important here. So I'm just going to ignore that part.
Right. The next time I ask someone if it makes my, you know, my outfit makes my ass look fat, I hope they're honest enough to say no.
Catherine. What? Is your ass fat?
Well, it's certainly not thin.
Well, see, that's one way to answer a question without saying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or lying.
I don't know.
Does it matter if your ass is fat, though? There's a secret about men I'm going to tell you, Catherine.
What? Oh, no. Here we go.
Men are way too invested in what their wives look like, not for their own benefit, but for what their friends think of their wives.
Right.
It's kind of a pissing match. It's like, who's got the biggest yacht? Who's got the most pretty wife, you know?
Aww.
It's kind of dumb. And, you know, it works against them, or us, if you want to include me in being a man, but I don't see it that way. So I free myself from these oppressions.
I'm glad you free yourself. That's awesome.
But that is something to know about men, is they are not always honest about what they find to be attractive. Mm-hmm. And there are enough men out there that find enough different things attractive that it doesn't matter if you have a big butt or a skinny butt. Someone's going to like it. So there are other ways to avoid telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid telling a hard or unpleasant truth, or a truth that a child may not be ready mm-hmm. to answer yet. First of all, you can just avoid the question by not answering it. Or if you don't really know the answer, you can say, I don't know.
I think that's probably the best route.
You can also just throw it back at them and say, well, what do you think?
Oh, God.
Which sometimes is very interesting. You find out what they think and they have crazy ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We were at this Cub Scout event one time where the Boy Scouts built a bridge and the Cub Scouts were supposed to go over it. And it was across a creek. It wasn't that tall and it wasn't that far, but it was a rope bridge. And it was a little bit, you know, if you get out there in the middle of it, it starts to sway because it's just made out of rope.
Oh, gosh.
And so it was my son's turn and he couldn't go over it. He was too frightened to go over it. And so I calmly brought him down and we were walking back to camp. And I asked him, Bob, do you really think I'd let you go over that bridge if I really thought you were going to get hurt? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, I think you would. I was like, what do you know? That's the opposite of parenting. I would absolutely never let you do something mm-hmm. that you would get hurt doing. And we talked a little bit more, very calmly. Like I didn't, you know, in the 50s, maybe a dad would have yelled at their kid and forced him to do it. But we talked about it and then he said, you know, I think I want to go and try doing it. So we walked back down to the creek.
Mm-hmm.
He got over it and he crossed the bridge and he got a standing ovation. Everybody was really happy that the one kid that turned around was able to come back and do it later.
I love that story.
Cool. It's crazy. I mean, he actually told me what he thought mm-hmm. and he was a little bit wrong, but it was good to hear his truth.
Do you think people are afraid of genuine conversation, of actually connecting, and that's why they lie?
I'm sure some people are. It's difficult, right? If you have mm-hmm. to tell someone the truth that no one else is telling them, you become mm-hmm. the bad guy. But again, you get to the point where people stop asking you stupid, silly questions they know the answer to
mm-hmm.
and only come to you when they actually trust you and know that you're going to give them the right answer.
Right.
Or a true answer, at least as true as you know it is to you. Like if someone comes asking you, do you think this painting is any good?
Mm-hmm.
I will answer them as best as I can. That doesn't mean it's going to be right, the right answer for everyone. But
right. Well, speaking of lying, sometimes candor can be freeing. It can also free you from the work environment. I got in trouble so much when I was working for my quote unquote candor. And there was one director who actually said, she called me one time. She said, Catherine, I just love your candor. And then they offered me another position off of their team. So that was, so anyway.
We just like it from a distance.
Just like, yeah, I just like it theoretically. So was she lying or what was that? I mean, I wasn't. But I guess you can't engage in candor if you're tired of the situation. Perhaps my candor wasn't well crafted.
It might get a little more complicated in that position,
mm-hmm.
but it's still worthwhile, I think.
You sent me a really interesting article from Axios about three ways leaders can win with soft power. And they do refer to candor in there and, you know, kind of connects with the lying.
Oh, yeah. Candor is the lack of lying. Candor is when you say something and people aren't deeply offended, right? It might be a little offensive, but it's just nice enough to actually be considered useful or at least not rude.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember times when you were candorous?
I do.
I just made up that word. Is that even a word, candorous?
I like it. I think we should trademark it.
Okay. We are candorous here. The candorous cuckoos.
Candorous cuckoos. I like that. Candorous is now a word. We coin a lot of phrases here on Subbrand. my candor is always couched in my lack of ability to deal skillfully with the situation. I think it's maybe my default mechanism to just get out of. I mean,
well, what does that mean, though? Do you have any examples of that?
Well, like in that work situation, there were a lot of things. I can't remember all the details. It's been quite a while ago. And you're engaging all this email communication. And finally, I called the director. I'm like, you know, what the hell are we doing? And I you know, I would just express my discontent. Is there candor in business? I mean, neither. I'm not working currently.
In successful businesses, you bet your bottom dollar there is. If you base a product decision off of a lie, that's not going to do anything but come back to haunt you. And that does happen. The more honesty you have in the process, the better the product will be, the more successful your company will be.
Okay. Because I like this article because I kind of see this house now, like that I'm the leader and I need more soft power because no one listens to me.
Don't you have all the hard power though? Don't you actually make the decisions? Don't you, aren't you the one who schedules which plumber comes what
day? It's a really, really fine line with adults who are your parents. You know, I'm still, you know, and so I don't want to strip them of their dignity as I'm obviously just making all the decisions at this point.
I understand that that's a delicate position to be in, but, you know, you can wield hard power in a soft way. Like, for instance, instead of asking them what they think that you guys should do, just decide what you're going to do and tell them, oh, the plumber's coming on Tuesday and we're going to replace the toilet or something. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make it like some big dictate.
We did have to replace the
toilet. Well, there you go.
They're expensive.
How much did you pay for a toilet? Counter?
Over $900.
Jesus Christ. What is wrong with you?
And that was a discounted rate or he was lying.
Wow. Okay. I don't think you're a very good shopper.
I was up against it when there's black water in your bathtub filling a quarter of it. I'm going to do what they tell me to do.
But even so, you can do if you do a little bit of shopping, you can usually get a better price than $900. What, do you work for the government? Is this a NASA toilet? Did it come with a hammer?
No, it's a new Toto. It's really cute.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, you know, my toilet isn't cute, but it also didn't cost $900.
I think that was part of the answer. Anyway, yeah, I probably got taken over the coals, whatever. The water's gone in the bathtub. I mean, I've got to get out of this house before we have more issues and need more toilets.
That is not a bad sentiment. Unfortunately, these days, as we've discussed, I don't know where else any of us would go because the housing prices are so astronomical.
Well, see, that's the thing. I had been looking in Tucson for quite a while. Actually, before the beginning of the pandemic, I've always liked it down there. No one else does. And the housing prices have gone extremely high. Mm. And even the new bills, which I'd prefer a new bill just because I don't... I know you're shaking your head. But I mean, I have an old house here and there are really cute other houses, like older houses. I mean, there are areas of Tucson that would be fun to live in, but they're the same build year. I mean, so if I'm going to trade for the same crap I've got here, I mean, I know the warts and blemishes. You know what I'm saying?
You know the bones.
Yeah, I know exactly what needs to be done. The question remains, do you want to throw good money at this investment? And I don't know. And so the plumbing issues, I mean, this could be quite serious because everything's in the darn foundation. Then you got to jackhammer shit up and that destroys all of my aesthetics that I just put in 5 years ago with new flooring and stuff. I mean, come on, enough. Now I'm getting upset.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It feels like we're getting a little bit penned in because there's nowhere inexpensive to move to anymore.
There's nowhere inexpensive to move. And Arizona used to be one of the havens for not so expensive cost of living.
Right.
It isn't anymore.
Yeah, that is now a lie.
That is a lie.
I was out at McDowell Mountain Preserve. Mm-hmm. Beautiful place. And the trails out there are amazing. But it's in the middle of nowhere. So my wife needed to go up and see some old clients. She doesn't see clients anymore except for some... You know, she has a handful of gems that she still sees. Mm-hmm. So last weekend we went up there and she dropped me off so I could go riding in the preserve. And I went to a new trail. It's fabulous. But it's in the middle of nowhere. It's literally a 34-minute drive to the nearest Costco. Can you imagine the horror of that? But no, it really
is. That's horrifying.
It's north Scottsdale. It's north of the mountain. It is as far away from Phoenix as you can get while still being kind of, you know, not 2-day drive to the airport.
Right.
So just out of curiosity, it's like, wow, that's really rural up there. There must be some dirt cheap homes up there. No, like the starting price up there is $600,000. I cannot imagine who is buying houses for that amount of money that far away from Phoenix. You know, it's like it takes an hour, at least an hour without traffic to get into Phoenix from there.
Right.
So I don't know who the hell is living out there or doing what or...
Well, who the hell is buying all these houses anyway? I mean, the starting price anywhere is well over $400,000 now.
Yeah, well, you know who's buying them is everyone who can. I think it's one of our major problems in the United States is we have a desperate housing shortage and no one seems to be taking it seriously.
Right.
This could be changed, you know, if we had some decisions on the state level, on the county level, on the federal level even, just deciding to change the rules on zoning and whatnot. Maybe hand in hand with zoning changes, also change the requirements for building so we're not building crap all the time. That's the main problem in San Francisco, right? Is like there's no lack of a desire to build more housing, except nobody wants it on their block. Mm-hmm. They want affordable housing, just not anywhere where it's going to affect their housing properties.
Right.
We're at a stalemate.
Well, I just have more house here than I need, but perhaps I should just...
How big is your house?
A little over 2,600 square feet.
That is a big house, yeah.
It's too big.
Well, yeah. At least you have some room to spread out. I don't know what to tell you. I usually have good advice for people, but I don't know where to go. That's really depressing. I want some good news. How's your Korean learning going? Have you learned Korean yet?
Oh! No, but you know what? I ordered that Talk to Me in Korean, but I think I ordered it last Wednesday or Thursday. It came on Wednesday, and they were so efficient. I cannot get stuff from Staples as fast as I got the stuff from South Korea. The process was amazingly seamless. Is this how other places do business? Like they actually follow through?
Good businesses are good businesses. What can you do?
But here, all we hear is supply chain, you know. I ordered some stuff from Costco, I don't know, about a month ago. And they were like, oh, we don't have this, we don't have that. It's like, well, and I know the Talk to Me in Korean books, they probably print them.
Okay.
I don't know how
okay,
they
hang
do
on
it.
A second. Don't you be bad-mouthing my Costco. When you are an elite Costco member, when you're an elite Costco user, when you're an elite Costco-er.
Are you an executive member?
I don't know. We have some member. I'm just saying it's not about what level you pay for. It's about the knowledge you have and gain. And you know the system. Mm-hmm. Once you know the Costco system, you never run into any supply chains because you know their system is they buy in bulk. They buy reasonably good stuff. You know, they have a bar which they don't go under. So you're never going to get any crap from Costco, but you're not always going to get the best stuff. But also, the stock they have of stuff is going to vary from week to week. They're not always going to have the same thing. So don't order something off their website. Go to the store and see what they actually have in stock and buy there.
I just didn't want to haul toilet paper. The mundane things I don't want to shop for.
They didn't have toilet paper?
No, they said it was delayed.
Well, that's great. Well, they had it at the store. At least
I know it's in the store. I'm just going to go to the damn store and deal with it. I'm done ordering online. Plus, I've got to go to the store anyway to renew my membership because it expired in February. Oh,
bad girl.
I know, right?
Maybe I should reframe that question.
Okay.
So this is for your new $900 toilet. Is this $900 toilet paper some kind of special paper you need for your new $900 toilet paper?
No, it's not $900 toilet paper.
All right, just checking.
Oh, now I feel nervous that I paid too much for it.
The toilet or the toilet paper?
The toilet.
Okay. Well, it's too late. Just relax. Give yourself a break.
It's over. Let's get back to the Talk to Me in Korean because it's much more interesting.
Regardless of how much you pay for the toilet, guess what, Catherine? You now have a toilet. How much is that worth?
Oh, it's lovely.
Exactly. So you got the books, but you're not using them. Is there any other follow-up you have on the Korean?
All I wanted to say was it happened so fast that I thought it would be, you know, it's coming from South Korea. It's not coming from South Bend, Indiana. And it was bam here. I mean, they're like, yeah, it'll be there in a couple days, like working, not weekend days. And it arrived, maybe it was even Tuesday. I mean, it was super fast for where it came from. I was like, this is too fast. I was expecting this in 2 weeks. So I'm not going to, I'm waiting to open the box because I have to catch up with their quickness.
Catherine.
So I'll probably open it today.
You're lying to yourself on some level there. I'm not sure where.
I'm just afraid I'm never going to use these books. And I paid more for shipping than the books, I think.
It's entirely likely that they had a warehouse in the United States. A lot of foreign companies have that. You know, because they're probably not selling a lot of these in Korea.
But the return address is South Korea.
Okay, I don't know. Well, and if also if you've paid a lot for the shipping, they may have air freighted it to you.
I think they air freighted it to me. But anyway, I will...
Along with the toilet?
I'll update you.
Okay.
I just have to learn their alphabet. It's Hangul, I believe. I just want to draw little faces on the characters.
The truth comes out.
The truth comes out. I'm not a polyglot. I've had issues with things in my life. Like you were saying, like earlier we were talking before the show about migraines. and we both have issues with this. And, you know, sometimes I think I just have migraines when I don't even know. I've always had issues playing the guitar, speaking Spanish. So
I'm sorry, were we going somewhere with this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Cut it out.
I'm sorry.
Was just saying, like, I'm not a polyglot. I have a hard time with languages, but there are other blocks. I've purchased many guitars in my time.
Oh, boy.
And then sold them off in garage sales because I can't play the freaking guitar, nor can I speak Spanish well after many years of studying. So I'm afraid it's going to be the same with Korean because it's far and away, like, much different than anything I've ever tried. So anyway, not enough said.
And yet hope is eternal because you think you're going to do it this time.
Hope is eternal. Spring's eternal.
You know, maybe you should turn to something a little bit easier and just go buy some CDs.
I want to buy some CDs. Oh, my gosh. I've been...
What CDs do you want to buy?
I want to buy Joni Mitchell's first three CDs. The first
what, because you can't listen to her on Spotify anymore?
No, I could, but I just like owning the...
Didn't she pull her music off? What was it? Was it Mitchell? Who was it that pulled off her music with, what's his name?
Yeah, Spotify. She pulled it off.
Well, then you say yes, you can't listen to it anymore on Spotify.
But I don't listen to Spotify anyway. Should I not say that since okay. our podcast is on Spotify?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make sense.
Oh, stop making sense. Who said that? Talking okay. heads?
Fair enough. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. a good band.
Well, speaking of music, did I tell you about my rabbit hole with YouTube?
You mentioned it, and it sounded like kind of like a rabbit hole. You wound up with BTS,
I
right?
I did. I went from Chuck Mangione to Spyro Gyra, somehow got in there. Morning Dance.
I don't know what that is.
It was just some random band that came up. I'm like, what the hell's this? And they had a picture of the album cover, and it looked really pretty, so I clicked on it. And it was a song called Morning Dance, and it appeared to have a xylophone in it. Then went to Maynard Ferguson.
Okay. I'm going to require that you have links to all these things.
No.
In the show notes. If they're not worthy to talk about, they're not worthy to the show note, and vice versa.
Should I just link everybody?
Pick the ones you want to link to and make sure that we have links to them. Otherwise, why are we talking?
Oh, because it's
a link show.
Because it's a link show. Now, the reason we're talking about this, James, is like, how do you go from Chuck Mangione through Maynard Ferguson to George Gershwin to Paul Simon to Carly Simon, and then it goes to George Harrison, Ringo Starr, and then BTS? How do all roads lead to BTS?
Because, Catherine, it's your road. And YouTube knows what road you've been on and what road you want to be on. And at the end of the day, it knows you want to be at your home, which is BTS.
Oh my God. I just thought it was hilarious. I mean, it was cracking me up. And it took hours. I was knitting a hat.
So instead of doing the show notes, you were listening to music.
Instead of doing the show notes, I apologize. I will get those back to you today.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yes, I was trying to fall asleep. And so but in terms of CDs, I want to buy Joni Mitchell's like a 3-CD set. With their first three albums.
I mentioned that because I thought it was funny that there was another article about CD sales finally going back up again after a decade of decline. Apparently, it's following vinyl. Vinyl is, because people don't understand how music works, vinyl has been very popular over the past 10 to 15 years.
Right.
And CDs are finally going back up. And they were talking about how people are trying to reconnect with digital, or not digital. Physical goods.
Physical goods, right.
It's a physical incarnation of a digital thing, so it's kind of weird. And that's their thought. My thought is the kids today might not be smart enough to know how to torrent their own music like they did in the 90s. Like in the 90s, you know, you went and bought a CD for 15 or 20 bucks. That was a lot of money. You mm-hmm. couldn't buy a lot of those. And
right.
then suddenly you could wind up finding all kinds of music, MP3s, that you could illegally torrent or download off the internet. It's like, oh my God, I can save literally thousands of dollars mm-hmm. by just downloading this stuff. And so people figured out how to do it. The kids today may not be as smart as we were in the 90s. That's my take.
My take is I like to connect with physical goods.
But a CD is barely a physical good.
But it's still in your hot little hands. And a lot of the music I was listening to, I don't know that you can stream or it's available out there.
Almost everything you can stream somewhere.
Krishna Das, Jai Tal.
YouTube has almost everything.
Okay. I think Jai's probably out there.
Now, I will say, having just bashed physical media like that, I did actually 2 weeks ago. I bought my own piece of physical media.
Did you?
I bought The Fifth Element on Blu-ray.
Oh.
Which is a crazy, silly movie that a lot of people probably don't take seriously. And it's not a serious movie, but I think it's a wonderful movie because it's so bright and vibrant, creative, and just fun to watch.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's not a great movie, but it's a really fun movie to watch. And I wanted to make sure that I could always watch it on Blu-ray. I want it high def if I can get it. Nice, good reproduction. And Well, talk about streaming. Movies and TV shows are things that you can't always stream because the streaming wars means that you what is on one platform one day is off the next. Like when I switched over to Hulu, one of the reasons I switched because they had every Star Trek season of every Star Trek show. Well, a few months later, they dropped them. So there's no Star Trek on Hulu anymore. And I don't think there's anywhere to stream for The Fifth Element. If the internet goes down, we can always watch that.
Agree.
I own it. Can't take it away from me if I own it.
That's how I feel about the CDs. But my question is, I have two different CD players. Like, remember back in the day, and they were like kind of like boomboxy. Not a boombox, right. But it's like kind of a...
No, it was a boombox. Yeah.
I mean, you can't pick it up. These aren't portable, like where I...
Shelf unit.
And so the slimmer speakers. One, yeah, the yeah, speakers, right? And so the tinier one, it's all jammed up. I don't know what to do with it other than toss it.
Well, if it doesn't work, you can either try to fix it or you can toss it. Those are the two options.
Right, but where do they still sell these things?
So what things? Boomboxes?
CD players.
Yeah, they're usually kind of expensive because only weird people have them now.
Oh.
I'm sure you have to look on Amazon, or not Amazon, but you can look on the internet and probably find somewhere that's selling CD boomboxes and whatnot. The other thing is you could just get a DVD drive for your computer and play it through that and rip it through that, and then you have the MP3s on your computer and then you can play them wherever you want. You can put them on your phone even.
But the sound quality isn't there.
It absolutely is there.
Is it?
It is. It's all digital. If you rip it at 192 kilobits per second or something, I can't remember, 192,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to hear the difference between what was on the original, quote, CD sound and the MP3.
Okay.
The biggest difference is what speaker is coming through. And if you have AirPods or some nice headphone, mm-hmm. You're probably going to hear it better than any speaker you have in your house.
I think I'm still such an analog person.
Yeah. It may just be nostalgia talking, but there was a lot that I miss about the analog world. The 1990s were kind of the perfect medium happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have smartphones in our pockets. We had to know how to get around using a map. We had to call people on the telephone.
Right.
That seems like a real hassle, but at the same time, if you had a problem with your water bill or you had a problem with something, you could just call someone up and in a few minutes, the whole thing could be taken care of. You wouldn't have to go through this gauntlet of online messaging and platforms to figure out who to talk to, what to talk to, and then you spend half an hour texting with what turns out to be a bot. And never get a number to call anyone. And the problem doesn't wind up fixed anyway because there was no one to talk to.
Right.
That may have been a little bit of a rant.
That was a rant. All I wanted to say was that I want to buy Joni Mitchell's first three albums on CD and I want to own them.
Okay.
Because I want to be able to listen to Blue whenever I want to listen to Blue.
There you go. Of course, you need an operable CD player for that.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Or, like I said, some optical drive for your computer.
I have all that stuff. I just never use any of it.
Well, if you already have the optical drive, you have what you need.
Okay.
But if you want to find a boombox that has a CD player, just because you can put it on your shelf and you can make it easy and that's how you access your music, that's the thing to do. Design the world that you want to live in. Design your life how you want it to live.
I'm trying to. It's hard.
Just try not to spend $900 on it.
Oh, God. I'll try not to.